Scripture text this morning is from the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, all 22 verses of Ruth chapter 1, and I shall read. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And he came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And he took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as he hath dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each one of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would he tarry for them till they were grown? Would he stay with them? Will he stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Verse 19. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Our speaker this morning is the Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew, pastor of Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, and our speaker at our recent church camp, which has ministered to many of us. The title of his sermon this morning is, What is Biblical Loyalty? Dr. Kwek will lead us in the pastoral prayer and also conduct the Lord's Supper after this sermon. Dr. Kwek, please.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God and I thank Reverend Timothy Towan the session for this privilege and this invitation to share with you from God's Word. Please keep your Bibles turned to Ruth chapter 1, where we shall look at the topic, what is biblical loyalty? Loyalty is defined as devotion and faithfulness. The issue is, to whom or to what are we devoted to? If we are devoted to our families, devoted to our jobs, devoted to money, then we will spend our life and our time and our zeal and our fervency and our effort and our all to these things, to these people. The object of our loyalty is crucial, is critical, because it will determine our resilience, it will determine our stamina, our perseverance. What is biblical loyalty? To whom are you devoted to? Husbands very often are devoted to their wives, wives to their husbands, parents to their children, children to their parents. And to many who are working, it will be to their jobs, to their ambitions, to their employers. There are many, many who will want to take over our heart, our devotion, our loyalty. I remember when I went for my first and only job interview. At the end of that 2-hour interview, I was offered the job. The boss told me that if you were to work in this company, we want to own your soul. That means total 110% devotion and loyalty to this company. He was very plain. He was very open. He was very direct about what he demanded of his employees. And I believe that the world would do the same. And they will use all kinds of enticements, I call them, to ensure that your loyalty remains true, that you will not sell them out to a higher bidder for your life, for your service. They will give you all kinds of perks because that's all they can offer you. They will give you bigger pay, bigger bonuses at the end of every year, and some of the time these bonuses may be more than 2 times your entire annual salary. They will allow you to fly first class anywhere in the world, anytime. They will give you cars. They will give you all kinds of perks so long as you sell them your devotion, your soul, your loyalty. And this is the world that we are confronted with day in, day out. And these things are very, very attractive. Who will want to live in an HDB house the rest of his life? Our aim is to get out of our HDB homes into condominiums. And from condominiums, you want to get out into landed properties. And once we are in a landed property, we want a bigger landed property. And then after we have a bigger landed property, we want 2 landed properties or bigger landed properties in many different major prestigious cities of the world. One in Switzerland, perhaps. If I feel like enjoying some skiing, I will fly there. And maybe another one down under, near the beach, where I can overlook the sea, if possible to see as far down into the South Pole. The enticements are very real, very, very real, and they want to buy our loyalty. So the question this morning is, wherein is your loyalty? Wherein is your devotion? Who to you, what to you, is that which you will remain true and faithful for the rest of your life? It's an answer that you and I will have to give before God one day. And while there is still breath in our body, if we are devoted or be loyal to the wrong thing or the wrong person, there is still time to change. And this morning we're going to study this chapter of Ruth, where we are going to glean 3 important lessons in question form that will cause us to find out in our own hearts to whom or to what are we most devoted to, loyal to? The scenario is found in verse 1 to verse 6, where we are told of a family from Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah, by the way, would be the little township through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would be born one day. The period was the day of the judges, the day where every man would do what is right in his own eyes. If you live in the land of Israel, the family, the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there because there was a great famine that had afflicted the land, as verse 1 tells us. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was alone with her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab, where they lived. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, and by the end of 10 years, Mahlon and Chilion died also. And now there were left only three women, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And this gave us the characters of the entire book, especially of this chapter. And these three characters, the way that they will interact with one another, will teach us the meaning of what is biblical loyalty or devotion. News came to her that her homeland, Bethlehem, Judah, in Judah, had been restored. There was no more famine. It was now time for plenty. And so she wanted to go back home to her own country. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So the famine was over after more than 10 years. Now she wanted to go home. And from verse 7 onwards, we are going to have the encounter between mother and daughters-in-law. This was a very, very unusual encounter, because both the daughters-in-law love their mother-in-law, unlike what you and I read in the papers or what is shown on television. Very often, mothers-in-laws and daughters-in-law do not get along very well. But not in this particular case. They got along extremely well. Both of them loved their mother-in-law like their own mother. And the mother-in-law loved the two daughters-in-law like her own daughters. And so it was a very tearful time of separation. And this was what happened in verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. Now please note the verbs. Whenever you see a verb that keeps on repeating itself, that would be the focus. There is now a play on this verb. Now, Naomi was from Bethlehem, Judah. Now for her to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, she used the word return. I'm returning home. Now, from Orpah and Ruth's perspective, they could not use the word return because they were not returned. They were from Moab. Right? They could not and they cannot use the word return. You are not returning. You are going. And so the word return, they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So now perhaps they were at the crossroad when this whole dialogue took place. The crossroad of this direction, back to Moab. This direction, toward Bethlehem, Judah. They accompanied their mother-in-law to this particular crossroad. And the mother-in-law now said to them, "We are here now. Return to the land of Judah. But only I am returning. Two of you are not returning." And so note verse 8 to verse 10. Where the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Is my loyalty self-centered? Is my loyalty self-centered? Look at the reasoning of Naomi to the two daughters-in-law. Verse 8. Go, return each to her mother's house. You better return to your house. I'm returning to my house, my land, my country. Same verb, but different object. Return to the land of Judah. You return to your own mother's house. Orpah to her mother, Ruth to her mother. As ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Self-centeredness. Is your loyalty self-centered? Think of your own home. Think of your own family members. Think of what you are leaving behind, who you are leaving behind. If you were to follow me to Judah, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, what you are very familiar with, your own culture. Think very carefully. Very often, these are our motivations, our motivating factors. Are they not? Very often, we move from job to job based upon what I will get for my family. My family is everything to me. I'm prepared to die for my family. I'm prepared to do anything for my family. And that's the problem. Very often, we sacrifice so many things for our families, even Christ, even God, at times. How many times we use our children as our excuse not to attend prayer meeting? How many times we use our children as an excuse not to do the will and the work of God? How many times we use our children as an excuse to hop from one job to the next? I want to provide better things for my family. My family. Go back to your family, they were told. Think of your family. Think of who you are living behind. If you were to follow me. We're not talking about driving a car or a motorbike. You can just come back and visit. It's going to be a one direction move. Back to Judah. I'm not coming back to Moab. Naomi told them. You sure you want to follow me? You're going to leave behind your families. Are you prepared? How many of us are living our life just for our family? Since very often, at the end of your life, you look back. Have your family disappointed you? Your children disappointed you? Still want to live for your family? Yes, I still want to live for my family. I'm prepared to do anything for my family. You think that devotion and that loyalty is good enough? It is still earthbound, is it not? It is self-centered. Family-centered. Our families, yes, they must mean everything to us. But there must be a limit. Are you prepared to sacrifice Christ, compromise, because of family? Because of family, are you prepared to do that? Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us of many, many children and families. They were prepared to die for Christ. Many of them, they were prepared to do so. Many of them have to leave family behind to go into prison because of Christ. You and I stopped serving because of family. How many young people so fervent and so zealous when they were in school, YF, and now that they have a family, they pray and ask God, God, give me a life partner, and God gave you a life partner. And then after you are married, you ask God to give you children. God gave you children. And what have we done in return? We have stopped serving. We allow the cares of the world to crowd out the love that once upon a time was so burning, so brightly in our hearts. And the blessings have now become a curse. They have become a stumbling block to our service and to our devotion to the Lord. You want to tell that to the Lord and you tell that to your children? Children, because of you, mom and dad have stopped serving. Do you want to do that? You think that will be acceptable to God? Self-centeredness. That dictates and determines our loyalty time and time again. And it can be seen by our action. Not words. Words we will answer correctly. We know what to say. We know how to answer. But our lives tells the real answer, isn't it? Our devotion and our kind of service tells the kind of answers. Very hard to find good, devoted servants of the Lord. Many people do not want to serve. Many people want to just take it easy. Come to church, sit there. Perhaps we think, pay my due. Tithe and offering is to pay my due. And then we walk out. We walk out. Our family dictates and determines our devotion. That was what Naomi asked them. You think of your family, you sure you want to leave me? Secondly, she asked them, verse 9, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and wanted to say goodbye. Second, family ties. You see, they were in the same boat as Naomi. Now, all three of them were widows. Sure, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, but think very carefully. The common denominator is, you are a widow, I'm a widow. All three of them were widows. And the life of a widow in those days was miserable. Nobody cares for you. There is no social security. There is no one. If you do not have a younger person to look after you, now, sure, you may be a widow where you still have some physical strength. But maybe 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, you're going to be a very old, weak, tired widow. Who's going to look after you? Both of you, I'm an old widow. Both of you are still young. You go back. Maybe you can still get married. Verse 9. Please note, her husband, each of you in the house of her husband. That means go back home to your mom and dad. Go back to your own home. And then perchance they may find you new husbands. And you can just move on with your life. Materialism. So again, is it not self-centered? Your own personal security. Very often we would sacrifice so many things to make sure that my job is secure, my family's life is secure, my future is secure. Is that not true? That's how we serve the Lord. That's our devotion. And then once all these things are carefully secured by me, then maybe whatever time that I have left, I will give to the Lord. But if this security of mine is in jeopardy, these are the things that I'm going to sacrifice. These are the things I'm going to drop like hot coals. I'm not going to carry on with them. Very often we do that. And then we pass this on to our own children. The way that we grill them, you must study hard, you must study hard, you must study hard. Why have never mind sacrifice? Some parents even have deliberately planned, organized tuition on Sunday. Amazing, they would even do this. Do you know what kind of teaching we pass on to our children when we do things like this? We talk so much about loving God, loving this, loving that. The Sabbath day, the Lord's day is supposed to be kept holy, and then you deliberately plan and organize tuition program and some kinds of sports activities on the Sabbath day. And the children will grow up and they're going to do the same with their children, your grandchildren. It's okay. Sabbath day is just 2 hours, give to the Lord, the rest is mine and I can spend it any way I like. That's our problem, isn't it? Self-centered devotion. Self-centered loyalty. So long as I, me, I. My family, myself, my future, my security. That's our problem. That's our problem. Told by the chairman that your session is small. And one session member might be going overseas. And it's going to be smaller. The church is growing. There's so much to do in the church. So few people. Why? What's happening? Our loyalty, our devotion. That's the bottom line, isn't it? So long as I am not inconvenienced, I might serve. But if I am inconvenienced, no thank you. Do you want to serve without trials and problems? There will never be any service on your part. There will always be trials, there will always be problems. That's why God says, we need Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. That's very true. And the problem is, we rather do nothing and not have Christ. Because our loyalty and our devotion is self-centered. We care for ourselves, our own security, more than anyone else and anything else. More than even Christ who died for us, so we say. And then after that, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Do we dare take the Lord's Supper with this kind of divided heart? Where our loyalty is self-centered rather than God-centered and Christ-centered? Where we are prepared to do anything for self rather than anything for Christ? David Livingstone lived 1813 to 1873. Shall I tell you what supported me through all these years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always and often hostile? It was this. Jesus promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." His single-minded devotion and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ enabled him to give up the life that he could have lived in the first world, in his time, England, to go into Africa, to people who more often than not would revile him at the risk of being killed. He would go there. He would go there. David Livingstone. Our problem is we look at our mirror, look at ourselves too much. We are too inward looking. We think of ourselves so much so that our loyalty is so divided. So divided. And very often, we will incline towards self rather than Christ when we have to make critical, important decisions. What do I get most out of this? That's our first question. It is not, "Lord, is it your will for me to do this, go there, do that?" Pay, promotion, the perks, these are the driving factors in many Singaporeans' daily life. They go to work every day driven by this. Money, money, and more money. Perks, perks, and more perks. That's driving force. If I have to sacrifice everything, my service, never mind. It's okay. God understands we deceive ourselves. And so we come, we buy bigger houses, bigger cars, more expensive clothing, we go on more expensive holidays. Then when we look at our time and what we have done for the Lord, zero. Zero. Talk, very good. Very good in talking, very good in answering questions. Fill in the blanks, multiple choice, we know. But when it comes to living, it reveals the heart. Where is our loyalty? Wherein lies our heart condition? Thank God, Orpah and Ruth passed this test. Their loyalty was not self-centered. They lifted up their voice and they wept with their mother-in-law. Verse 10, and they said to her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Verse 10, you see, both of them use the same verbs. They understood exactly what mother-in-law was saying. The mother-in-law said, "Return to your mother's house." "No, we will return with thee." They are not supposed to use that verb, but they purposely use it. In other words, whatever, whomever you call your people will be my people as well. Return. We will return with you unto thy people. Note verse 11 to verse 15. The second point in question form. Is your loyalty mind-centered? You know what's mind-centered? Mind-centered means logical reasoning, because that's what Naomi is going to do right now. Alright, present time, you have this devotion and this loyalty toward Naomi, toward me. Very good. You don't want to go back to your family. Very good. You don't want to think of your husband, don't think of your family ties. Very good. But are you sure? You have to reason very, very carefully. Now, she's going to use very logical reason. Verse 11 to verse 15. Turn again, same verb, turn again, my daughters. No, don't return, turn again, go around. Why will ye go with me? Now, turn, go, return, go. Now, key verbs, note. Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? There is no future with me, in other words. Look at the logical reasoning. Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me in striking dead my sons and my husbands. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So this time round, it moved the heart of Orpah. Orpah realized now, hey, she's right. She is very correct. If I go back with her to this foreign land, I will be a foreigner, number one. Now, even if Naomi loved me very much, which I know she loved me very much, and if she were to get married again, and to have sons again, and am I prepared to wait until the child grows up and then marry me? It's impossible. In other words, logically, reason-wise, following Naomi, my devotion to Naomi is hopeless. It is hopeless. There is no hope in following Naomi as far as my future, my life is concerned. Because very soon after Naomi dies, I will perhaps be Naomi's age in a foreign land. There is no way I'm going to find a husband when I'm an old, old widow. At least right now I'm still a young widow. At least when I go back home, go back to my own people with my gods, maybe I have a chance. Logical reasoning. We are very good at logical reasoning because we are educated to think logically. That's our problem. The life of faith sometimes is beyond, it transcends human logic. You know how ridiculous it was for Joshua and his men to march round the city of Jericho? Militarily speaking, it's an impossible and a very silly thing to do. You mean you march round and then that's it? And then on the seventh day, you march round seven times and then you're supposed to shout and then the walls will come crumbling down? It's never happened before. It will never happen again. Logically speaking, impossible. No matter how many voices there were, you shout the decibel and so on and so forth that so-called scientists are trying to explain away the miracle. And they're going to use some scientific explanation. Oh, the decibel of the people when they shout at this particular magnitude, the wall will just tremble and then they'll fall and all kinds of nonsense. Human logic. Whatever my mind cannot accept, I will not accept. German rationalism. The Germans are very, very logical. Very, very good in their design. Very logical people. That's where German rationalism came from. Anti-God. It's in our education system. And so the world will tell us, you know, this is the way to go. If you want to maintain your present standard of living, and with inflation in the next 20 years, because by the time you're 20 years, you will be retiring, and this is how much you must start saving, and this must be your investment, and this must be the amount of money you must have in your piggy bank. By the time you retire at this particular age, that's 10 years down the road. Or else you will have no future. Or else you will have to downgrade. Or else you will have to sell this, sell that. Or else you have to forget about your landed property, your swimming pool, your cars. You're going to downgrade to maybe a 3-room or 1.5-room HDB flat. So how much money must I have? You must have at least 3 million. So that you can live comfortably, because you're going to have no more jobs. No work at all. So you're going to live with what you have in your bank account. So this is what you must do now. Do this, do this, do this. Buy this insurance, buy this, buy that, and buy this property, buy and buy all these things. And so all these things now all have been bought. These are all the designated funds, untouchable. And so when it comes to work, oh, I must work very hard now, because in order to sustain and maintain this, I must work, work and work and work. And in order to make sure that I do not get fired, I must kowtow to my boss. I must bow down to him. Every time he asks me to jump, I must ask him how high. True? Is that not true? Stay back extra time? Sure. Come back on Sunday? Sure. Forget about your family holiday because we need you to fly to this country. This is a $10 billion project? Sure. Anything goes. When the pastor, elder asks you, please come for a prayer meeting. What? What did you say? True. Come and help us in serving. What? What did you say? Why? Because come for a prayer meeting, what do I get? Serve and teach children, what do I get? At home, I teach my two naughty children. I get stress and strain. Now you're meant to teach how many children? Hiya, no thank you. Come and help with the young adult. No thank you. Come and help with the YS. No thank you. But the boss says, jump, how high? See, that's our problem. Why? Because the devotion is either self-centered or maybe both. Mind-centered. Logic, you see, logic. Logical, it's not logical to do these things. It is very logical to do all these things. You go by the way of logic, not the way of faith, you're going to end up loving the world, you're going to end up like Lot. If you are born again, you're going to end up like Lot. Vexation of spirit, and you're going to lose everything at the end of your life with nothing, zero. Be very careful. Is your loyalty self-centered? Is your loyalty mind-centered? Self-centered, Orpah had the love for Naomi strong enough to put aside self. But it was only good enough for the brief moment. The moment Naomi used logic, touched her mind, helped her to think 10 years, 20 years down the road, then she, yeah. Who will look after me when I'm a widow in a foreign land? I'm going to die. Naomi has Orpah. When Orpah arrives at Naomi's age, Naomi will probably die. I have no one else to look after me. What will happen to me? When your loyalty and devotion is to a person, is to a thing, there is a limit. Why do you think, have you ever asked yourself, why was it that Ruth was not convinced? Ruth was not convinced by Naomi's argument concerning self-centeredness. She was also not convinced with her mind-centered argument, her logic. Do you know why? Because Ruth's devotion to Naomi was not to Naomi per se. Orpah's devotion was to Naomi, full stop. But Ruth's devotion and loyalty was to Naomi's God, Jehovah. That was why she was able to reply Naomi in this manner. And that brings us to our third point, that's third question. Is your loyalty God-centered? That's the bottom line. Self-centered, mind-centered, or God-centered? Only when it is God-centered, then you will be able to stop the arguments of self-centeredness and the arguments of logic or mind-centeredness. You will not be afraid of your future because your future is in God, not in what a financial planner will tell you to do, not in what you think may or may not happen in the future, not according to economics, but in God and God alone. You entrust your future, your present, your everything, your all, including your family and yourself. Unless it is God-centered, our loyalty will be half-hearted. It will bring shame to the name of Christ. It will. It will bring shame to the name of Christ. And so, this was what Ruth said to Naomi. Verse 16, 17, and 18. Entreat me not. That means, please do not persuade me any longer to leave you. To return from following after this. She still remained with using the word return. Why? For whither thou goest, I will go. Location. Wherever you go, I will follow. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. That's the key. Her devotion and loyalty to Naomi is because of God. And unless your devotion and my devotion is to God and not to any human being, not to any church, not to any cause, not to anything, then it will end up pleasing in the sight of God. The moment we change, the moment we switch, it will be our downfall. It will be our downfall. Young and old alike, our devotion and our loyalty must be to the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else. Wherever the Lord sent me, we will go. Whatever it takes, even if I have to lose my family, my freedom, and my life in the process, I must not be disloyal to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, it must be beyond our lifetime. And that was exactly what Ruth said to her. Where thou diest, will I die. In other words, even after you are dead, Naomi, I will still remain in Judah because I have already embraced Judah's God. I will not come back to Moab even after your death. And where you are buried, I will be buried as well. My devotion to you, Naomi, is beyond your lifetime because her devotion was to Naomi's God, who never dies, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And unless you and I have God-centeredness in our devotion and our loyalty, we will be enticed by the world. We will succumb to the temptations and the attacks and the wiles of the devil. We must not lose sight, because once our devotion is fixed on God and Christ, on His Word, you will realize that everything you do will fall into place. It will be pleasing in God's sight. Your devotion to one another as husbands and wives, your devotion to your job, your devotion to your children, your devotion to your service in church, everything will fall into place because your devotion is God-centered, not self-centered, not mind-centered, because these will distort it. Whereas with God, it will keep us focused and centered. And that was Ruth's argument, and that was her heart. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she, that is Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking with her. And Ruth did it. Verse 22, Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And the rest, as they say, is history. You honor the Lord will honor you. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't hold on to the life that you cannot keep, but give this life over to the Lord, who will hold it in His loving hand, and no one can take that away from you. Not even Satan, not even death. H.M. Stanley. Remember who Stanley was? The one who went to Africa to look for David Livingstone. He printed in a newspaper in 1875, November 15, in Daily Telegraph in London. After the death of Livingstone, who died in 1873, the message from H.M. Stanley was this: needs for missionaries in Uganda. And that was how the article concluded. Here, gentlemen, is your opportunity, it concluded. Embrace it. The people on the shores of Nyanza call upon you. Alexander McKay, 26 years old, a Scots, together with seven others, volunteered to go. The Church Missionary Society and Anglican Missionary Society met with this group, found them all ready, and before they were sent off, there was a farewell meeting. And all the other seven said what they wanted to say. And then the youngest of the lot, Alexander McKay, stood up and he said these words. There is one thing, he said, which my brethren have not said and which I want to say. I want to remind the committee that within 6 months, they will probably hear that one of us is dead. All eyes fastened on him. Yes? Is it all likely that 8 English men should start for Central Africa and all be alive 6 months after? One of us, at least, it may be I, will surely fall before that. And when the news came, when the news comes, do not be cast down, but send someone else immediately to take the vacant place. McKay's words were still ringing in the director's ears when the news came that one of the 8 died within the 6 months. And by the end of the first year, 5 more died. And by the end of the second year, McKay was the only one left. When our devotion and our loyalty is self-centered, is mind-centered, we will not do anything for the Lord. We will reason ourselves out of service. We will reason ourselves out of everything. And before you and I know it, our life is gone. The many or the years that you have left to serve are perhaps a handful. Are only a handful. And what we have left is just regret. If only we may cry, if only. Please don't ever think that there is something that you can sacrifice that is your life, that is in your possession, that can be compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has sacrificed for us. And if you are burdened to serve the Lord, to come back to the Lord, and to focus your devotion on the Lord Jesus Christ, don't ever, ever think that you are doing God a big favor. There is nothing that you and I could ever, ever give to the Lord Jesus Christ that can be compared to what He gave for us on the cross of Calvary. Nothing, absolutely nothing. If you earn a job that may be worth $1 million a month or $1 million a day, whatever it is, and you give everything up to serve the Lord, it is nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And you think that it is a big, big job that you are giving up to serve the Lord, you can keep your job. There is no sacrifice that you and I could ever give to God could ever be compared, even in the slightest manner, to what Jesus Christ has given to us. And that must determine our devotion. Never, never think that we are doing God a favor when we serve Him. It is the greatest privilege and honor given to sinful men to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we do not serve Him, we are the loser, not God. We are the loser. Be devoted, be loyal to the Lord. David Livingstone wrote in his journal, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much time of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paying back a small part of the great debt owing to our God which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in healthful activity? The consciousness of doing good, the peace of mind, and the bright hope of glorious destiny hereafter. Away with the world in such a view, and with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege." Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Help us, O Lord, to know to whom or to what are we loyal to. Wherein lies my heart, my devotion, my service, my all. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will, through Thy own Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts. If it is self-centeredness, if it is according to what our mind has argued, O Lord, forgive us. May it be God-centeredness that propels us, which is our impetus for service, to demand our all, our soul, our life. We thank Thee, Father, for the great and wonderful salvation that Thou hast wrought for us. For in Thy great love Thou sent forth Thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And even as we prepare our hearts, O Lord, to partake of the Lord's Supper, may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction where we have fallen short of Thy glory. Forgive us and wash us by Christ's precious blood, that we may renew our love and our zeal and our fervency to serve Thee, to know, O Lord, that the days whereby we can serve Thee are truly numbered while it is still light, before the night cometh where we can serve Thee no more. May Thou teach us, O Lord, to love Thee with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. O Lord, may Thou bless Thy church, Thy people, for Jesus' sake. Hear our humble cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.